as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Hear these words from Romans 8. This is the version from The Message. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Imagine that. Christ himself in this very moment in the presence of God, sticking up for you. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Isn't that good news? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, what kind of love is this? Oh my, that you would go to the depths of the earth, to hell itself, to the cross, giving your own life so you might embrace us and our lives and the mess that we make of them sometimes. Oh, what kind of love is this? This is why we're here, Jesus. Because to be loved so fully, so completely, by one so good and holy and beautiful as yourself, calls us to come and to worship. You are worthy. You are worthy of the songs that we sing. You are worthy of us coming to the table. You're worthy of our prayers of confession. You're worthy of us leaning into your word and seeking your guidance. You're worthy, O Jesus, of our lives. You're worthy of our love in return. And so here we are, O Lord. May this be a day when we enjoy and celebrate the fullness of your love for us, and when we eagerly return to you, love just the same. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You will open your Bibles to Matthew 27, and we'll be in John 21. Matthew 27, verse 3. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. John chapter 21, verse 4. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Would you pray with me? And now, living God, we turn to your word because our hearts need to hear from you. We've poured our hearts out to you in song. And now we listen for you to speak to our hearts what's on your heart. So we pray, O Lord, that your spirit might move freely in this place, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. If we're going to make it through this life whole and full of joy and wise and strong and as peaceful people to be around, we have to learn how to keep on keeping on. Overcoming when the task is hard and not just giving up. Sticking it out when things don't go as planned. Staying committed to the people that we love. In this quick to quit, likely to flake on culture, Jesus' people are different. Jesus' people are a people who are resolved to keep on keeping on the good path, the path of life, with the Lord as our guide in every season, come what may, until we see our Jesus face to face. That's who we are. That's who we're resolved to be. If your life is like mine, I imagine it's this nice record of times that you've kept on keeping on and times that you've peaced out. And I bet they're about half and half. Just thinking about this last year, and I was able to keep on keeping on through some stuff. I got to finish my doctorate program last year, my dissertation. I tell you guys, those were some long weeks, long Mondays, long weekends, pages and pages, hours and hours of reading and writing and reading and writing, and one page at a time. Eventually got there and saw it through. Last year and all the years of my life, I've also peaced out a lot. Things like every diet I've tried ever. I think the longest one lasted like 3 weeks. Ever! Sometimes we keep on, sometimes we peace out. Last year, I did something I'll only do once in my life. Did my training and completed a full marathon. And I tell you, that is like an effort and keep on keeping on. From the long training weekends and training for a marathon in Washington. Who thought that was a good idea? Having to run in the rain and 1 mile at a time, seeing if you're ever going to get there. And then the day of the race, oh my goodness, when you hit like mile 17 and you still have 9 miles to go, you just want to die. But you've already paid like $200, so you're going to keep on keeping on. Did it. I've also peaced out. The one class I ever dropped in school, in grad school, statistics. I kept on keeping on for 2 weeks, and I was done. I wasn't interested. It was boring. It was hard. I went back to the Bible classes. I dropped it. Peace out. Surely you've got your own list. You've got your list of all those things that you've stuck to, that you've seen them through. And you've got your list of all those things that you bailed on. Come what came. But the big question is, what about in our walk with Jesus? If you think about your life, from when you first started to know him, from when you first started to really love him, however long ago that was, to here, right now, this morning, worshiping him in this place today, how has that journey with Jesus been for you? Would you say that it's been this steady, hand-in-hand, footstep-by-footstep kind of walk with him, never too far from his side, always just right there? Or when you look at your journey with Jesus, would you say it's been more like there's been seasons where I am right there with him, and there's been seasons where I am as far from him as anybody, and then I come back, and then I fall away, and then I come back, and then I fall away, and right now I'm back, just waiting till I fall away? Are there some folks in here that would say, I am as close to him as I have ever, ever been right now? Or some who might say, I feel like I am just on the verge of slipping away. How do we keep on keeping on in our walk with Jesus, our Lord, the one that we love, come what may? And we know what's going to come. Doubts are going to come. Failures are going to come. Boredom is going to come. Some of you have it right now. Boredom's going to come. I'm only on the first page. Disappointment's going to come. It's going to happen. Have you experienced these things with Jesus? Failures, disappointments, doubts, boredom. If you've walked with him for more than a year, you have. And is it possible to stay close? Is it possible to get even closer to Jesus when the going gets tough? For this next month, that's going to be the question that we're going to entertain together week after week. This question of how can we keep on keeping on? How can we keep walking with our Jesus? How can we stay close to our Jesus in every season of life? How can we be a people who just are resolved to never peace out on this intimate relationship with Jesus until we see him face to face? A people who are faithful in our love for him to the very end. Do we want that with our Jesus? Okay, I do, and if I want it, and I believe in our heart of hearts, we probably all want it. We'll figure out together how we might do that, keep on keeping on in these weeks to come. Today's specific question to kick us off is, how can I keep on keeping on with Jesus after I know in my heart of hearts that I have failed him, that I've let him down? Ever failed in a relationship? I mean, our 5-year-old kids say they've already done it, so surely we have too. You got caught gossiping, got caught cheating, got caught going behind someone's back. You found that you finally blew someone off enough times that they just quit going to you with their heart at all and went elsewhere. Those times we've spoken those words out of turn that we know hurt someone. Unfair expectations that we've held over our kids slowly pushed them away. A cold shoulder given to a spouse. Day after day until finally they just shut down and it seems there's no coming back. What do you do? What do you do after you've messed up, after you've failed in a relationship? In a relationship that means something to you. We do all kinds of things. Most of the time we just avoid the person we failed for a while. We hope that time heals and that it just kind of goes away. Sometimes we just move on to other relationships and try to forget about that one. We try to convince ourselves, I don't really need that one anyway. I'll just start new with some more people. Sometimes we deny that it happened, make excuses. We distance ourselves. We pretend that it was no big deal and just act like nothing happened when we get with them the next time. That doesn't usually work. We try to tell ourselves it does, but it doesn't. Sometimes when we have really failed in a relationship that matters to us, sometimes we actually dare to apologize. We actually dare to still lean in, and we dare to still attempt this hard work of healing so we might get to keep on keeping on with these people that we love. But what do you do when the relationship that you feel like you have failed, that relationship that you share with your Jesus? Have you ever been there? Have you ever just knew in your heart of hearts that you let him down? Just knew that there was something that he was tugging on your heart to do, and you just blew it off so many times that he finally just quit asking, that you just ignored his calling. Have you ever knew that he wanted something closer, something deeper with you? He wanted intimacy, and you just pushed him away and pushed him away. You ever felt like you went and failed your Jesus? I have, we all have. A couple of guys in Scripture, thankfully, who know just what that's like. We've got Judas. You know the story of Judas, one of the 12, one of the few people on earth that Jesus entrusted his heart and his ministry with. Judas had been with Jesus for 3 years, walking with him, watching him do his miracles, hearing his messages. Judas had been there. And then there in that last week of Jesus' life, Judas went and betrayed him. For 30 pieces of silver, he turned in his friend of the authorities, said, "This is the one, take him." The worst kind of failure in a relationship we can imagine. Not only did he leave him himself, he saw to it that he would be done for. The worst of the worst. You know, Peter, same as Judas, been with Jesus 3 years. He was in his inner three, his closest of friends. Peter got to do everything that Jesus did. He even got to walk on water. Peter helped pass out the fish and the loaves to the 5,000 people. Peter got to hear the very best sermons with front row seats. He was there for all the miracles. His own family member had been raised from sickness by Jesus. Peter had been there. And Jesus tells Peter, "It's going to get intense, Peter. And you are going to deny me 3 times. No, no, Jesus, never. I would never do that." You know how the story goes. Judas betrays him. Jesus is arrested. That night, as Jesus is being held, 3 times Peter is asked, "Aren't you one of his? Don't you know him? Don't you follow him?" "No, no, no. I do not know him. I do not know him. I tell you, I do not know him." One of the Gospels even says that after his third denial, Jesus looks at him and Peter weeps. Right there in the presence of Jesus, "I do not know him." Ever failed a relationship? These guys have. Two different responses to their deep failure of this one they loved. Judas, he repents. You noticed that before? He goes back to the folks who took his money, to the religious leaders, and he says, "Never mind. Never mind." He says, "This man is innocent." He said, I want you to take the money back. I'm not going through with this anymore. It's wrong. He's okay. He's right. Let him be." And they say, "What's that to us? It's done for, Judas." He throws his money on the floor and goes and takes his own life. See, as far as Judas was concerned, he was just sure that there was no future for him. That there was no hope, that there was no way, as bad as things had gone, to ever make any of this right with his Jesus again. And so what does he do? But he ends the story himself. Rather than hang on just for a little while to see if maybe there could be another way. What if Judas had hung on just like 2 more days? What might have happened? Peter, we find him weeping after that third denial. But that's not the last we see of Peter. The next time we see Peter, he's at the empty tomb, still hanging out where Jesus was. And then we find Peter again, and he's gathered with the 11 disciples remaining. And then we find him, and he's on the mountain of Galilee, right where Jesus had told them to be, so he could meet them. And in John 21, the second that he realizes that this is Jesus, it's the Lord that he's seeing, he's not ducking behind the boat hoping to avoid him and avoid the awkward conversation. He's not oaring the other way. He jumps in the water to get to see him first. He says, "It is the Lord, and I'm going to be with him." Jumping in, he goes and greets his Savior. Then that place, he gets to have breakfast with him. And then he gets to have a conversation. "Peter, do you love me?" Three times. Three chances to make amends. Surely as he says, "Yes, I love you," he's saying, "Yes, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for the ways that I failed you. Yes, I love you." In that place, he gets to face the failure, not run from it, but face it. Receive the love of his Christ, and then embrace this future that he still has with his Jesus. "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." You see, Peter, after his worst failure with Jesus, he gets a fresh start with his Lord. Relationship with Christ from that day on, it's going to be stronger than it has ever been before. Judas, after his failure, he just gives up. Throws in the towel. He ends it. He never gets to have another meal with his Jesus. He never gets to have a chance to hear that question for him. "Judas, do you love me?" Because Judas, if you love me, I still have plenty of good work, beautiful plans for you. If you still love me. You see, when we fear we've really gone and done it. When we fear in our heart of hearts that we have really failed Jesus. It seems that we always have a choice. Will we just give up on that relationship with Jesus and run away, too ashamed to face him again? Will we call it quits on that relationship because we have convinced ourselves that there can't possibly be room for us in the grace of Jesus? Or will we still hang out near our Jesus? Will we still listen when he speaks? Will we still look for him? Will we still jump in when he calls us? Will we still dare come and eat with him? Will we still maybe even dream of a future by his side? I trust the grace of my Jesus. And I've gotten to know his heart through his word and through my own experience with the Spirit in me. And my friends, I have this hunch that this invitation to keep on keeping on with Jesus was as open to Judas as it was to Peter. Judas's story with Jesus did not have to be done. I don't know if Jesus wasn't done with it yet. I don't know about you, but I can envision knowing the heart of my Jesus and knowing what happens between Jesus and Peter. I can envision that there could have been a day, a real day, just a few days after Jesus' resurrection, when the risen Jesus went and sought out Judas. And on this day that I can imagine, Jesus would have found him somewhere all alone for sure, because he would have been pushed out by the disciples, and for good reason. Jesus would have found him anyway. And I can see, when I vision this, I can see Jesus like that father of the prodigal son, who actually is Jesus, you know. And I can see him approaching his boy who is just so ashamed, who can't believe that he could have done this to his friend. His head hanging so low, he doesn't even see Jesus coming. He looks up, and there is Jesus. Not with his finger pointed at him saying, "How could you?" And not with a clenched fist saying, "Let me give you a piece of my mind, Judas." But I can picture this day where Judas maybe could have seen his Jesus with his arms wide open, ready and eager to embrace his wayward son. ready to wrap him up, ready to hear those pleas from Judas that had fallen on deaf ears just a few days before. I'm sorry, I messed up, I don't want the money, I just want Jesus back. Jesus would have heard those pleas. And I can imagine that Jesus would have held Judas in that place and would have said to him, I'm back. You've got me back. Don't you worry about the money. Forget about it. Forget about the failure. You've got me back. And I've got you back. Judas, my boy, receive my love for you. And when you're ready, I'll tell you about the dreams I've still got for you. And then when he was ready and they began to share these dreams, I can still hear Jesus talking, Judas, oh Judas, there are so many people out there who feel like they are just too bad or too greedy or too stupid or too selfish or too broken to ever be fully loved by me. And you're going to tell them, Judas, you're going to tell them that's not true. Judas, Paul, this guy Paul, you haven't met him yet, but you're going to meet him. And he's going to go around telling people that he's the worst sinner ever. And he's been saved by grace. And you're going to say, no, 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 I am. I can one up you, Paul. I am. And I was saved by the grace of Jesus too. I can see what could have been, knowing the heart of my Jesus. Can't you see it too? If you know the heart of our Jesus, you can see it too. My friends who feel defeated this morning, ashamed, too broken. My friends who feel too far from Jesus to think you can ever really get back. To hear this, I beg you. There is life with Christ on the other side of failure. His love for you is so much greater than the worst thing you have done. You are not that powerful. You cannot outdo his love for you. That's the cross. We have a Jesus who would rather die than spend a moment without you in his presence. And there is nothing that you can ever do that could ever change that. That's his heart, and it's not changing. And so when we fail him, and then we run from him, and then we fail, and then we bury that relationship with Jesus ourselves, we let shame win the day, what we're doing is we are denying that Jesus' great love for us is actually enough, thinking that we're more powerful than him. That his love for us, we're doubting that it's good enough. And that it's big enough, and that it's real enough, and that it's unconditional enough for us on our very worst day. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're taking the rest of the story into our very own hands. And I tell you, the story never ends well when shame is the narrator. Ever, ever, ever. Our Jesus always writes the story way better than we do. And our Jesus has always said that his grace is enough. There is life with Jesus. There is intimacy with Jesus. There is a future with Jesus on the other side of hurting Jesus. We just have to keep showing up to Jesus. We just have to never dare to bury what Jesus hasn't yet said is dead. Most of all, our invitation to be in this intimate, dynamic, loving relationship with him for all of our days. He has not said that that's dead. If you're still alive, that's still his great invitation to you. We can stick with our Jesus even after we've gone against him. My grandpa was a pastor his whole life. Felt this deep call in his life when he was a World War II soldier overseas, came back, went to seminary, took his first church, so faithful. But there was this tiny little season in the middle of his ministry when church got hard, ministry didn't pay very well, especially back then, and he had a friend who had this deal for a restaurant business. And he talked my grandpa into leaving the ministry and joining him and starting this new restaurant. And in his heart of hearts, my grandpa would say, you know, I knew that God hadn't released me from the church, but it just seemed better, easier, more lucrative. He went. They did it for a year. And the friend ended up being not a good friend, took all the money, ran off, left my grandpa with nothing and a failed business. He turned back to the church, stepped back into ministry feeling so defeated. How could I have walked away from God's call on my life? Would he ever let me back? And I tell you, there was a church with doors wide open, and there was a God who was ready to use the rest of his life in ministry to be more fruitful and more full of life than before. There is life with our Jesus on the other side of failure. I mean, in my own life, I feel over and over again this tug on my heart, Jesus saying, Jamie, come closer, come closer. I want to spend more time, just you and me. I want more of your heart. I want more of just listening to each other. I want more of embracing each other. And there are so many days that I know that invitation is there, and I just don't take it. Other things to do, sleep a little longer, busy, busy, busy. And whenever I feel like I'm in this rut of not coming back to him, I get this weird habit of just letting the rut get deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like, well, now I've ignored him this many days, so I can't really run back yet. And every time when I finally come to the end of myself and say, I'm so tired, I'm so weary, I'm so broken, and I come back into his presence and sit with him, there's never shame there. There's never, where have you been? It's just, welcome, welcome. Let's share our hearts together again. And there's always life on the other side of pushing my Jesus away. Just stick with him, just come back. In these years of ministry, I have sat next to folks from all walks of life, so many who have relapsed again. Sat with a friend in Waco, Texas, who got caught in adultery again for the third time. Sat with friends who have had an abortion again. Who have lied at work again. Who have gone off and blown all their money on reckless living again. I have looked into the eyes of folks who have been so filled with shame, and again, I have found myself just begging the people of Jesus not to bail on him too soon, not to write the end of their own story, because his ending is so much better. Their ending would have him held at arm's length for the rest of their lives, so sure that they could not receive that grace again and again and again. His story says, come on, come on. There's a grace for a Judas. There's a grace for a Peter. There's a grace for you. Some of these folks have dared to lean into the grace of Jesus again. And lo and behold, there it was. Grace enough to walk with our Jesus again. And again and again. Peter stuck around after the failure. Peter waited to see if Jesus might be able to do something about this mess he had made. And I tell you, just a few days after John 21, Peter was preaching. And 3,000 people were filled with the Holy Spirit that day. And the church was born. One day, denying Jesus. The next day, being used by God to start a whole new movement in the world. Stick around after failure. Wait to see if Jesus just might still be able to do something about this mess that we've made. You might just find what Peter found. That Jesus has the very best chapters between you and him just ahead. Just on the other side of failure. Just stick around. Just stick around. That's it. No special prayer to pray. No extra amount of tithe to give. Just stick around with your Jesus. When you are sure in your heart that it is over with between you and him, just stick around. And you might just find that Jesus is getting ready to start the best chapter between you and him that has been written to this point. Just stick around. Amazing grace. You will find it You're just sticking around, dear Jesus. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Do pray with me. Lord Jesus, all of us have fallen short of your glory and your goodness. Even after knowing you and loving you. Oh, it's just hard. It's hard to live out that love for you in the ways we want to. Some of us this morning feel like we have just really gone and done it. Really turned on you. Ignored you long enough, pushed you away to where you feel so far away. And some of us are close to you now, and yet know that we could be closer still. We're all one in this place, people in need of your grace. And thanks be to Jesus, we've got it. Lord, today we resolve once again to let you write the story from here on out. And may it be a story of redemption and life and grace and mission. People on adventure with you, because you haven't counted us out yet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.